Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Like water and sewer, good roads and public safety services, broadband internet is, in 2020, an essential part of the infrastructure of any modern community. Without it, residents and businesses simply can't participate in numerous essential aspects of modern life, from commerce to education to healthcare. In many parts of North Carolina, particularly in larger urban areas, internet is a given, but for many rural North Carolinians, high-speed access is very tough to find. Recently, WRAL-TV documentary producer Clay Johnson set out to examine this digital divide by traveling to some less populated parts of the state, both those that are struggling and those that have addressed the problem. The documentary he and his team produced is called Disconnected, and it debuts on March 19th. Clay joined me in studio to give us a sneak preview. Well, Clay Johnson, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be back here, Rob. Thank you very much.
Your new documentary that'll be premiering in March is entitled Disconnected. It's about the whole issue of access to internet, particularly in communities that are either struggling to have it or maybe have figured out some ways to get it. Talk to us about the whole concept of high-speed internet. A lot of us in big urban areas take it for granted, but it ain't everywhere, right?
It's not. We're not exactly sure how much of North Carolina, or even the nation for that matter, lacks high-speed internet service. But there are clearly big gaps across the state in rural areas. You know, you and I here in the Raleigh area, there's three providers that provide 1 gigabit service, which is one of the best situations in the entire country. You drive an hour outside of town into some of these rural areas, and you got people still using dial-up. And to just explain what the difference between that is, sort of the FCC standard for what is high-speed internet is a download speed of 25 megabits per second, an upload speed of 3 megabits per second. People are mostly familiar with the download speeds. So dial-up, for instance, is only 3 to 5 megabits per second. Dial-up, a half a megabit per second, which is painfully slow. So, you know, if you go out to some of these rural areas, they may have a dial-up connection, but by today's standards and in the way we use the internet today, that's almost like not having internet at all.
Living in the mid-90s.
Right, yeah. And the way high-speed internet has really become like a public utility. We're all dependent on it. It's not just for downloading videos and movies. You know, it's for accessing your bank accounts. It's for accessing your healthcare portals for patient information. There's all kinds of things that you do on the internet now that we all just kind of take for granted, but that people out in these rural areas can't do. So they're living in another age almost. There is a huge digital divide for those people.
The town that's profiled that's really struggling in this regard in the documentary is Enfield, which is in Halifax County. And one of the first examples, and I want to listen to a little excerpt here, you talked to LaShonda Silver about her daughter Raven, where they don't have reliable internet at her high school.
Raven actually goes to Enfield Steam Middle Academy.
Okay.
So it's essentially a middle school. And the principal there says about 60% of their students do not have reliable internet access at home. They actually keep school open after hours so kids can come in and use the internet to do their homework. They open up on Saturdays.
Amazing.
So kids can come and use the internet because 40-50% of what they do in their schoolwork requires online access, so an internet connection. And these kids just don't have that at home. And in LaShonda's case, she has internet access at home, but it's bad. It's satellite. And if it's cloudy or raining or snowing, she doesn't have it. And even when it is working, she says it's painfully slow. So she takes her daughter to the public library to do homework.
Let's listen to LaShonda Silver from the documentary.
It's a lot of running around. So as a parent to me, I have to provide what I can for her. If I don't provide it for her, she's going to lose out. We got to use what we can get because high speed is not offered to us.
It's not just kids trying to get onto the internet for their schoolwork, right? You've alluded to the fact that another big issue, and this is another thing you encountered in your research in the Enfield area, is healthcare. Increasingly, all of us are now who perhaps have a regular physician are finding out that to get access to our healthcare records, need to have internet for that as well, right?
That's right. And in some of these rural areas, if you go to rural areas that do have high-speed internet access, they're able to take advantage of telemedicine. So they can go to their local, even a nurse practitioner or primary care physician. If they have some kind of problem through telemedicine, they can go to a specialist virtually at a UNC hospital or a Duke or someplace like that. So they can get that quality of care without having to drive all the way to the Triangle area. And that's really important. But places like Enfield, that doesn't exist.
Right. That's the big promise, indeed, is we've seen closures of rural hospitals. Well, don't worry too much. People will now have telemedicine. But if you don't have internet, you don't have it, right?
Right.
Well, you talked to Mary Downey, who's a nurse practitioner at Enfield, just about this whole issue. And let's give a listen to what Mary had to say.
Sure.
A lot of people depend on their cell phone service for their internet access, but if they actually live outside of the city limits in any given direction, they probably don't have any access to internet at all. It's a barrier for their healthcare. It presents some obstacles that, had we not been in a rural setting, they probably would not have to deal with.
And, of course, there's more to it than healthcare and students. There's the whole issue of just economic development, right? I mean, how does a community attract modern businesses if they don't have access to the internet for folks? So this is another problem in Enfield.
Yeah, we talked to the town administrator there, Montre Freeman, and he talks about that when he's trying to recruit businesses. You know, the first thing they say is, you know, how much access do I have to the rest of the world, meaning a high-speed internet connection. And it's a liability for them in their efforts to try to recruit business to what is a struggling economy already.
Let's listen to Montre.
I understand the advantages of doing business in a small town, lower cost of operations, things of that nature, but can I do business in your town? And what they're really asking me is, how accessible to the rest of the world am I? And so broadband accessibility is the ability to really plug into tomorrow's business and put yourself in a position where you can be really successful.
There's probably multiple answers that have been advanced, but one community in our state that's had a lot of success in this, not a huge urban area, a modest-sized town in eastern North Carolina, is the city of Wilson, which had the foresight years ago to move ahead with their own sort of public system of providing internet access to folks. And you went there and saw what was going on in Wilson, right?
That's right. You know, Wilson, back in the 70s and 80s, suffered from the loss of tobacco and textiles. But their leaders saw, you know, that they needed to do something about that. And they decided to install a fiber optic network in 2007. They were way ahead of the game on that, with the idea being they saw what was coming. We need to provide this just like we provide sewer and water. And this is an infrastructure issue. So they did that, and it was completed in around 2010. And it's made a huge difference for them. I mean, if you go out there, they are able to connect to Duke and do telemedicine, you know, at their hospital there. We talked to a business owner who, he's got a global business and just located an office in Wilson because of that, because of the fiber optic network, largely due to that. And, you know, the kids in the school system, they're able to do homework, you know, on their laptops from anywhere, from home, by using this fiber optic network. So it's a stark difference when you go to Wilson and you go to Enfield and you see what it's like to have a reliable high-speed internet connection for everyone and what it's like not to have that.
Interestingly enough, though, this idea of a publicly run as opposed to perhaps a corporate run network has proved unpopular with some of the telecommunications companies in North Carolina and their lobbyists at the General Assembly, right?
The actual legislation was passed in 2011, but apparently, essentially, what it did was it put so many regulations on the municipalities that they effectively, it's a prohibition on doing what Wilson did. They don't, the telecoms won't call it that, but the practitioners in the industry say that effectively that's what it's done, which is exactly why you haven't seen any other municipalities do it, what Wilson did. What has they've done to try to remedy that is the NC Fiber Act, which passed last year, which is supposed to open the door for public-private partnerships between local governments and internet service providers, where the local government provides the infrastructure, the internet service provider comes in and manages the service. Problem there, of course, is that the local governments still have to come up with the money to build the infrastructure, and it's very expensive.
The reality is that over the last decade, because of what the General Assembly did, nobody's been able to follow Wilson's lead over the last day. We have a host of small and mid-sized communities throughout North Carolina that aren't in the big urban areas, that aren't essentially profitable, but they're not interested in letting these public networks develop either. That's sort of been the dilemma, right?
Right, and what the solution seems to be, if you talk to the experts, will say, you know, it needs to be a collaborative effort. The state needs to kick in a little more money than it has to its credit. The legislature passed a 10-year, $15 million a year program to help subsidize, you know, these internet service providers to be able to put broadband in these rural areas. The experts will say that's not enough money and that the state needs to put in more, but the feds need to step in too and basically help these internet service providers to fill that gap between, you know, they're a business. They need a return on investment. These rural areas are sparsely populated. They can't profit if they're spending more than they're getting back. And so someone needs to come in and fill that gap. And there's some interesting examples of collaborative efforts. One in Wilkes County, which I wish we had gotten up there, called River Street, which is essentially a co-op, which they've provided high-speed internet access to the whole county in Wilkes County. So that's kind of an interesting model up there. But something needs to be done, or there's going to be basically broadband deserts where nobody wants to live or do business in North Carolina.
I mean, 80 years ago in the country, we had rural electrification. It was almost the same concept, right?
Right.
We had rural parts of the country that didn't have electric service, and we had to come up with creative ways, co-ops and public-private partnerships
and the government, just like it does with highways and roads, it needs to come in and help provide the infrastructure, because that's just too big a cost for some of these internet service provider companies to handle.
The program that will debut on March 19th, right, on WRAL and WILM?
That's correct.
7 p.m. and also on some other internet-based platforms, right?
Right, yes. If you have a high-speed internet connection, you can stream it on demand anytime. It'll be up that same evening, Thursday, March 19th on WRALdocumentary.com. On our channels on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV as well.
And the documentary is called Disconnected. Clay Johnson, it's really important and interesting topic. Thanks for doing it. We look forward to watching it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.